Be seated. I'm 9 years older than my sister, which means I was acutely aware of how annoying small children were. Not all her fault, although when she's present, I'll tell her it's more her fault than mine. We were on a family trip somewhere, and forget where, but she was sitting beside me, and she was about four, she was doing that thing. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? She's sitting right beside me, and I would have been about 13, so patience is not your strong suit in those years, and it definitely wasn't at that moment, and I'm trying to figure out what I can do other than something violent, because our grandparents are driving, and that would not have gone over well. I was raised in a family of civil engineers. Both of my parents were civil engineers, which has a lasting impact in ways only other children of engineers can understand. Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But one of the side effects was we learned to read maps, which is good for me because I have no sense of direction innately, but I can read a map and get myself around that way. And it means that all of our cars have maps in them. So my sister is sitting beside me, driving me nuts, and I am sitting there. I realize that the solution clearly is to show her where we are on the map, because then she will understand when we'll be there. Maps are drawing to scale, and it's really hard to explain that to a four-year-old. So, you know, I get the map out, and I show her we're here, and we're going here. And she gets all excited, oh, we're almost there. And then I realize I have to explain that this far on the map is actually like an hour's worth of driving. My sister is about to graduate with a degree in electrical engineering, so she got this better than most four-year-olds did. And from that journey on, for several journeys, all of our maps have little lines, because we'd give her a pen and she'd trace where we were, and she'd know. Quite brilliant. But it solved the problem. But explaining map scale, that's hard. These maps, these plans we lay out can be a little deceptive. Isaiah this morning sets out, and I love Isaiah. I love Isaiah. My family knows to change the subject when I start talking about Isaiah. They do. He sets out this vision of God's holy hill. This place where when we all get there, we will study and learn from God, and it will get better. We will understand, we will stop fighting, nations will no longer rise up against nations, we won't even need these weapon things anymore. It sounds wonderful and gorgeous, and I am all set to go on that journey. That sounds like a great destination. There's a catch. There's always a catch in the Bible, and you sort of have to keep reading until you get there. If you open up the beginning of Isaiah, you realize that this description of the holy hill with the city of peace on top of it is, in fact, about Jerusalem. And the bit right before this and the bit right after this are Isaiah informing Jerusalem that they've really made a mess of it. Bad things are going to come. They have not lived up to this vision of who they are supposed to be. They are in trouble. They have forgotten where they were headed. They stopped reading the map. They have, instead of heading towards this hill, and Jerusalem is built on a hill where you can see it. Instead of going here, they have actually turned around and are going the wrong way. And if you know your history, you know that in a few years, the Babylonians come and sort of drag them even further away. If you read the news the way I read the news, you believe, perhaps as I believe, that we don't actually need people to come and drag us in the other direction. We're perfectly good at doing that all on our own. We aren't so good at reading this map. We aren't so good at sticking to this Godward journey we are supposed to be on. Instead of trying to figure out map scale and how long it will actually take us to get there, It seems many days that we're more caught in Zeno's paradox of dichotomy. Zeno was an early philosopher, and he laid out this problem, which is mostly theoretical. Doesn't really matter what age, we like to debate philosophy. He said, you're on a journey. You're going from point A to point B, and there's good news. On the first day, you will get halfway there. And on the second day, you will get halfway there. And on the next day, you will get halfway there. Which means you only ever get halfway there. You can keep dividing the journey into halves, at least theoretically, forever. It doesn't matter what the map scale is. It doesn't matter how good you are at following it. You're only going to get halfway there. It's easy with that feeling, that sense of our world, to read Isaiah's call to turn back around and go to God's holy hill against different passages, to read it against Jesus and the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, I have done it all. I have been good. I have kept the commandments. I have loved my mother and father. What else should I do to reach salvation? Jesus looks at him and says, go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the rich young man walks away in sadness. It is easy to feel that that last halfway is simply more than we can ever do. But we can't read the Bible apart from the rest of the Bible. There is a story in the Bible where Jesus has just come down from the mountain. He's descending the hill, at the top of which James and John and Peter have seen Jesus transfigured, this glimpse of heaven, of all that is promised on top of the mountain. And then they come down. The rest of the disciples are sort of botching the job at the base of the mountain, standing there with everyone else. There's a father and a son, and they are all arguing because they don't know what they are doing. Jesus asks and figuring this out, and the father says, I have brought my son who is ill. Can you heal him? Jesus, I think a little exasperated with the humans, I think we're a little exasperating from time to time, looks at them and says, you faithless generation, all things are possible if you have faith. To which the father replies, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm not quite there yet, but I want to be. Jesus heals his son. We get so close. Every now and then we get so close. We have read our maps. We have figured out what the map scale is. We have done our best, and we are still only halfway there. We're stuck at the base of the mountain, not sure what to do. Sometimes that last halfway is simply more than we can imagine. But the promise of God, the promise of Jesus, is that God meets us halfway. That last halfway may not be something we have to do. It may be where we find the risen Christ. Amen.